And to help break it all down for you and I is Keegan Matheson, a regular on this program. We always love it when he joins us, at Keegan Matheson. You can follow him on Twitter, Blue Jays reporter for MLB.com. Have you ever swallowed a bee like Doug Ford so eloquently did just a few hours ago?
I have not. I would like to think I would be a bit more graceful, but hopefully I never find out. Let's hope.
I thought that he handled it pretty well. I'm not joking, because I don't know. Me, in that scenario, I would have been rolling on the ground. I would have just been, like, hacking for, like, I don't know. I couldn't have carried on and started making jokes like him. I would have been way too panicked. I saw my girl, the movie.
It was floating around his mouth. That was, the moment a bee touches me, I'm out of there. I'm not going to let it set up shop.
Totally. I had them flying around me and my son at dinner last, and I was like panicking, legit panic. So I give him a little bit of credit. And now that's just video that's going to last forever. It's a gift that keeps on giving, Keegan. Look, it wasn't a great road trip, was it, for the Toronto Blue Jays, but the team seems to be a different group when they play at home. How important is this series for the Blue Jays to get back on track?
No, it's a big one. A lot of their recent success has come against worse teams, frankly. And that's fine. You are supposed to beat teams that you're better than. That's never going to be discounted. But the Blue Jays need to start doing this against teams who are in the same race as them, or teams who are ahead of them. They're going to have some of those opportunities coming up with Cleveland, number one. They still have a lot of games left against the Orioles, who are shockingly really in this. They've been one of the better stories of the season.
Yeah, no kidding.
But this is a big stretch for the Blue Jays. They have been kind of that game or two up on that first wild card spot, which has felt secure, oddly, but it's not. It's a very slim lead, a slim group that you're in there. And at this point of the year, you're also focusing on getting home field in that wild card round. That's going to matter a lot for those three games. So having that top spot in the wild card really matters. You know, it's good to get in, sure, but a team with this much talent has to have much higher expectations than just getting in.
I mean, George Springer, I mean, that's been a blow. Stripling now out. We understand the limited assets in terms of pitching. Like, I haven't been on air since before the trade deadline expired. It was just such an odd move for me. And I talked about this with a lot of my friends. It's like your house needs a new roof, but then you go out and redo the driveway. You know, I still haven't been able to put two and two together here, and I've failed to be convinced that this team is going to be able to reach the potential of what it could be without that improvement in terms of the bullpen and the pitching staff, in terms of the limited numbers that they have. Am I off base? Like, you know, can you make the case that still there's plenty of time and, you know, a move like, you know, Merrifield and what the Blue Jays have right now, they just pick up Jackie Bradley Jr. It just seems like they're addressing a lot of the same thing.
Yeah, it's been incremental. And that trade deadline was okay. It was fine. But when you look around the league and you see Luis Castillo and Frankie Montas getting traded, when you see Juan Soto getting traded, I know the Blue Jays can't be in on everything. That's a video game, a fan thinking. It doesn't always work that way. But it's tough when you're seeing contenders get a lot better. And did the Blue Jays get better? Sure. But did they close the gap? I don't really think so. That's going to need to come from within. You need Vladdy to break out. You need Bo to break out. You need George Springer healthy. So it's going to be more of a cumulative thing. And those trades, especially when you look at a Zach Pop or a Mitch White, the pitchers, who come with team control, those are bigger picture moves. Those are also about 23 and 24 and on and on. Whereas at the deadline, I definitely understand that fans want something big and cool and immediate. You know, a name that you've heard of and a guy that's going to change a team right away. But a lot of that's going to have to come from within at this point for the Blue Jays. And it's been an interesting stretch because they need to be able to play up to their talent, but a fatal flaw can still sink you in baseball. You know, this is a little different than other sports, I feel. If you are an NBA roster that's very top-heavy, you can lean on your stars. But in baseball, if you have a weakness at the back end of the bullpen or the seventh, eighth inning, it's going to get found out. The other team will expose that weakness eventually. And Vladdy is not involved in every play. Alejandro Kirk is not involved in every play. It's the segmented nature of baseball really allows weaknesses to get exposed, because sooner or later, that pitcher or that starter is going to be the guy that has to win you a game. And if that's your weakness, then yikes. So I don't think the Blue Jays have closed the gap with an immediate move. It's got to come from a lot of guys getting better and a couple of guys being healthy.
Right. I totally get all that. It's not just the fans. The moves weren't just for the fans, though. It was also a statement of intent. Like, there's teams that are swinging big because, you know, that signals that they believe that they're in a position to win now. And that was kind of more my takeaway, that maybe the Blue Jays are happy with the fact that they're obviously a team that can compete, but perhaps there wasn't the belief that this group is ready based upon the players that they have and the assets they also had available to make the moves that require them to take that next step. And perhaps there's a knock-on effect. You know, there was some reporting around that just, you know, a week and a half ago, that, you know, the players were kind of all anticipating something much more. And that could have a knock-on effect psychologically, can't it? Like, just saying, you know, how much does the front office actually believe that this group is good enough to win this season?
Yeah, it all depends on how a player takes it individually. And, you know, if a player tells you they don't pay attention to the trade deadline,
lies.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, you're plugged in, especially the modern player who is plugged into everything. They're paying attention to this. You can take it one of two ways. You can take it as a front office not doing enough for you, or you can take it as, okay, watch me. Watch what we'll go out and do, and we'll see how that goes from here. But if you're the Blue Jays, it's looking at this from their perspective, there is something to be said about just getting in every year for 4 or 5 years and finding your year eventually. Now, eventually you need to find your version of Kawhi Leonard, like when the Raptors were going to the playoffs every single season. You've got to find your guy that pushes you over the top. I don't think they've done that right now.
Right.
But the Blue Jays realize they have that window. You know, this is not like 2016 where we didn't want to say it at the time, but it was obviously being built up for a peak and then a big crash to follow because it was built around older players, older contracts, and that's fine too. I love it when a team goes all in. It's good for baseball. It's good for the narratives. It's fun to watch. I like it. But right now the Blue Jays are set up to have those runs for the next 4 or 5 years. Are they at that peak right now? I don't think so. They haven't pushed all in whatsoever. They have cautiously pushed in a little bit. It's not closing the gap, but like I said earlier, they're going to need that to come from their rostered players. You know, if Vladdy starts playing like an MVP again, that makes it a little easier to forget the deadline, but you're leaning on hope, which is not always the most secure thing in baseball.
Keegan Mathieson joining us here on Gameplay. Gareth Wheeler sitting in for Matthew Cause. These next 10 days, you know, look, there's no way around it. These are very important days for the Blue Jays. Like you teed up, Keegan, like, you're thinking wild card, you know, close to a lock, but we're nowhere near that, especially when the next three at home are against Cleveland, the next three after that against Baltimore, then you're away for four at the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. This is a critical stretch. Do you see indications that with this new manager, with this group, and dealing with some of the injury issues that they have, that this team is equipped as possible to go in and potentially do some damage here to stake their claim for that, you know, that wild card spot?
It's in there. It's just about consistency. Yeah, at this point, I like the style of baseball they're playing under John Schneider. It's more aggressive, and that makes sense because most days the Blue Jays have the better lineup. So why not take it to the other team's doorstep and try to control the game instead of react to a game? I like that. It fits the team's personality, which is important, although difficult to measure at times. But I think John Schneider has a good feel for that. You know, I think he's going to be here for a long time, and I like what he's doing with that team so far. But you need to see it consistently, because when the Blue Jays look good, my God, they look good. When they look bad, you start to worry. You know, there's not a lot of middle ground. There aren't many days where the Blue Jays are just playing like a 60-50 team and you think, oh, that's a good team headed to the playoffs. It's always hot and cold. And that's going to be the nature with a talented roster that's being inconsistent right now. So I think you need to see them finding their way every day more consistently at this point. A lot of that starts with starting pitching. If you have Jose Berríos going out there looking great one day and pitching like a 5.5 ERA guy the next, good luck. If you have Yusei Kikuchi struggling to get out of the first inning, struggling to locate even remotely where the strike zone is, well, good luck. Your day is off to a bad start in the first inning. They need that starting pitching, I think, to set the tone for them a little more often. The lineup is good enough. If the pitching is good enough, the bullpen doesn't need to be too exposed, but it starts at the very beginning, and I think they need this rotation to be setting that tone like Manoa and like Gosman have been doing just a fantastic job of.
Wasn't sure if you just cut out there or not. The thing is with the Blue Jays, and the thing that's kept them in a good position, but you know, despite those imperfections, is the fact that the American League is just so top heavy. Two really good teams, then a bunch of maybes. Let's be honest, and I put Cleveland in that category. Like, you look at the AL Central now; they've hunted down the Minnesota Twins, and now the Guardians are in first place in that division. They're 59-52, just one fewer win than the Blue Jays. Are the Guardians a good team? Or does the AL Central just stink?
Yeah, life outside of the AL East is a little different. The Blue Jays were supposed to have the Orioles to beat up on this year. I remember back in April and May saying over and over, don't worry, they still have 15 games against the Orioles. Now that's not a good thing at all. But the American League, it is getting a little tighter in the middle there. And expanding to the three wildcard teams, at first, I wasn't sure how I felt about that because earlier in the season, it looked like it would just be Tampa, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox running away with it. And when there's not a playoff race late, that's boring. We like a race that goes late into September. Now it looks like it's going to be that. But at the same time, you look at Cleveland, at Baltimore, at the White Sox, kind of hanging around that race, put them on paper next to the Blue Jays, and my goodness, Toronto should be easily pulling away from that. But there is a reason that they play a million games a season, and you're seeing it right now. And Cleveland, you know, teams like Cleveland and like Baltimore, I think a lot of teams are outplaying their expectations or outplaying talent, a lot of young talent coming up and making an impact. So credit to them. They are hanging around, and you're going to see some of their good starting pitching this weekend too. That's a big reason why.
Let's end on this. What, you know, by the way, cool stories with Naylor coming into town, Quantrill pitching tonight. That's cool from a Cleveland/Toronto perspective. But, I mean, I feel like every time that Jose Berríos takes the mound, I'm holding my breath. That's someone not only is a sports bettor, a Blue Jays fan, and also someone that owns him in fantasy. Just like the home road splits are a little bit wild when it comes to Berríos. Is there anything that you see or you pick up on what's made him a little bit erratic depending on where he's pitching?
It's a tough one. And when you ask Berríos himself, there's no real difference between the home and the road. But for him, the frustrating part, I think, is that he's been close. This is not like Kikuchi, who I compare him to often, where Kikuchi doesn't know where the ball's going at some points. Berríos is just a bit off. And he looks good for 2, 3, 4 innings, and then all of a sudden a curveball hangs out over the plate, and he gets rocked. Nobody is missing when he misses, and that's the problem. He's so close, which has to be frustrating, because this guy spent 5 years as one of the most consistent players in baseball. Forget pitchers. One of the most consistent players. So he is just a bit off right now, and that tinkering is something that he hasn't had to do a lot. So it's really about avoiding that one big pitch. It seems that way recently for him. I think his July performance earns him a little more trust, but last time out, it looked like more of before July. So if you are a fan, or if you are interested for other reasons, you've got to bet on it. You are holding your breath the entire way up to that very final pitch, because we've seen how it can go sideways really quickly for him, even if it looks great for 5 innings.
No kidding. We'll be holding our breath tonight and hopefully celebrating a Blue Jays victory tonight down at the Rogers Center. Thank you for this, Keegan. Always appreciate you joining. Enjoy the weekend. I'm coming down to the game on Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that as well. So can't wait.
All right, you got it. Take care.